All right, welcome back. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Jim Cavaney, make sure I say that right, Cavaney. Welcome, Jim. How are you?
Thank you, John. Appreciate it and glad to be here.
You're an entrepreneur, author, AFIB survivor. Let's talk about stress because April is Stress Awareness Month.
Yes, it sure is. It's also my birthday. So
happy birthday.
I'm aging.
Happy birthday,
Jim. Amazing, right? Stress doesn't get any easier or worse.
No, it does not. And stress, and I talk about it a lot during this particular hour each week, it has so many ill effects that, and yet most people have it.
That's correct.
All right. So, Jim, how do we start managing it better?
Well, you know, I mean, I think that the key things with stress, depending on, you know, if you, it depends on which way you want to look at this, right? So if you're looking at this as a stressful situation because you are an entrepreneur, or you're looking at this just dealing with stress in general, right? So I'd like to take it from the perspective of, you know, if you're starting a business or if you're not, and it's like, what do you do to manage these things? And I think the key things that we have now at our disposal, which we didn't have, you know, in some cases a year ago, 2 years ago, when we think about the automation that we have in our life, right?
True.
Particularly, I strive when I'm talking to a lot of folks about stress and building businesses and as well as just in general, just existing, is really leveraging the automation that we have at our disposal. You know, whether you pick AI of the month you could use. So I particularly use ChatGPT all the time.
Right.
It helps to automate pretty much everything that I'm trying to do that are really menial tasks. And why is that important? Because it ultimately removes anything that might be just something that's in my way, and I can focus on something that's a little bit more important. So that's the number one key thing for us when you're doing this is to leverage the automation. The second thing is around really developing and having a resilient support team, right? So what is this? So this is a friend group. This is your business partners. This is your family. You know, really having somebody around you that is willing to take on some of the stressors that are, you know, kind of riddling you.
Right.
And this way they can carry some of the load and you can carry the load for them too when they're going through their own situations.
Talk to us about, you know, AFIB. You're an AFIB survivor, and I was reading my notes and said AFIB is AFIB, and most everybody knows what that means. But those of you, I guess maybe, I think everybody does know what that means, but Jim, maybe for some that don't, what is AFIB?
Yeah, so AFIB is short for atrial fibrillation, and so it is the number one cardiac arrhythmia in the world. And right now in the United States, there's around 6 million patients that are afflicted with the diagnosis of AFib. And believe it or not, in just a short 5 years, we're going to be pushing in the United States around 12.5 million patients will have AFib. So this is a growing epidemic impacting people from across all age groups because it is becoming a little bit more younger of a disease. But it also really predominantly impacts patients or people above the age of 50 and beyond.
Where does it come from, or do we know?
Yeah, so great question. So AFib, because it I want to be very clear, it's not like a heart attack or anything, right? So heart attacks and things like that, that's all plumbing related. So that's your vessels. With atrial fibrillation, what ultimately it is, it's an electrical issue. So you have on the backside of your heart is where a lot of the nerves interface. It's around the pulmonary veins, and that's where it originates. And, you know, in some cases, a lot of the AFib comes from our lifestyle. Mm. So if we think about obesity, hypertension, stress, obviously stress, starting a business, family life, you know, all that stuff.
Right.
And there's also familial characteristics as well that start stress and start the AFib. But also, what about our choices? So AFib can be triggered by alcohol consumption. It can be also triggered in some cases by extreme athleticism. So if you're really into extreme sports, that's where they're starting to see younger and younger populations are having episodes of AFib.
Makes sense. And then, as you were saying, just the stress in general, which, you know, and I say this all the time on this program during this hour, the stress literally is a killer, is it not?
Without question. And I think that if we could all figure out how to really de-stress ourselves, we'd be in a much better place. But that's the billion-dollar question right there, is how do we do that in an effective manner?
Got it. Now, when it comes to AFib, for folks that are listening, what are some of the signs of?
Yeah, so a couple of key things, and these are not, and I'm gonna throw this out to you because this is what I did, and so don't do what I did type okay. of thing, right? Do as I say, not as I did.
Right.
And so that situation was when you start to have palpitations. Maybe your heart seems to be skipping a beat or beating a little faster than usual when you're sitting at rest. Those are not anomalies, right? Those are a sign of something that maybe is not right. The other aspect of things is if you're starting to feel dizzy, lightheadedness, getting up in the middle of the night and feeling like you're going to pass out. Mm. Those are situations that I experience because of my elevated heart rate. Now, my, you know, a normal resting heart rate can be anywhere between, depending on how athletic you are, between 40 and 60 beats per minute.
Okay.
But for me, my resting heart rate was around 120 beats per minute. So that's running at a pretty good pace.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's not normal. So when those situations arise, that's when you need to go in and get help immediately.
And this I do know because I've had some family members with this, Jim. This is where they can do, you know, different procedures on the heart itself. The pacemakers, by the way, is what is used for some of this as well. And people think, geez, I'm not that old. Well, you know what? It's not an age thing, is it, Jim?
No, it's not. I was actually 38 years old when I was diagnosed with it. And so, I wouldn't consider myself old then. I'm 51 now. And so I I'm feeling great. It's completely managed, by the way, because of what you just mentioned. There are some procedures that can be done.
Yep.
Cardiac ablation.
Yep.
is an amazing procedure. Then, and they're advancing the way that is done. So it's a little easier, a little safer to be done. And so we're seeing significant impacts on quality of life for people going through cardiac ablation. But there's also cardioversions is when they take the paddle to your chest and reset your heart rhythm based upon that.
Right.
That's done all the time as well. And they can also do this, by the way, with medicine, lifestyle changes, and also utilizing right and appropriate diets.
Got it. One thing I learned here recently, my dad had a stroke. He's in his 80s, has Alzheimer's and some other things, but was talking to his doctor, you know, throughout that, and he's got a pacemaker, so, you know, they're doing all sorts of different checks on his heart and different things, and I did not know, and you probably do know this because you're way smarter on this than I am, that when you have AFib and things like that going on, their fear, especially when it comes to strokes, is the blood, it's not that the heart, to your point earlier, it's not that it's not pumping, but it's pumping irregularly and can actually pool blood in your heart, and that's where if it pools long enough, it can clot, and that's where strokes come from, which I did not know.
Yeah, that is absolutely correct. Yeah, because the rhythm, right, because the atria are the top chambers of the heart, and the ventricles are the bottom, and they are not in sync.
Right.
And so that
right.
blood is pooling up in there, and there's a little appendage, the left atrial appendage, that is where the blood sometimes pools up and starts to clot. And then now all of a sudden, if you go into a normal sinus rhythm and you get a complete solid beat, that's when you can release mm-hmm. the blood clots off into the brain. And that's where, unfortunately, you get your stroke. And that, John, is the number one risk factor for anybody with an atrial fibrillation situation.
Okay.
You actually have a 500% increase
okay.
in having a stroke with AFib.
Okay, so again, I always say there's no dumb questions, but I learned that by sitting there listening to a, you know, neurologist, heart specialist in, you know, my dad's care in learning that. Why don't we tell people this stuff? I'm 60 years old, just learned that about 3 weeks ago.
Right, right. Well, you know, I think that's just the getting the general knowledge and information out to everybody. It's hard, right? Because, you know, even for myself, you know, my business, by the way, prior to all of this was, I was building life science materials for pharmaceutical and biotech companies.
Okay.
And even though I was really educated, I didn't really know a lot about AFib because I didn't need to worry about it.
True.
Right. And so it's the out of sight, out of mind.
True.
And, you know, until it hits you right in the face, you don't really start to pay attention. But the key things, which we're starting to talk about more and more now, thankfully, across this country, is lifestyle management. And
right.
all those risk factors that I talked to you about earlier, man, if we could start to take care of our obesity, our hypertension, diabetes, all of those things, then the risk for AFib actually go down. So that's when people start to really get in tune with what's happening with their bodies, is when they start paying attention to the, either the good stuff or the bad stuff they're putting into it.
Is there any one particular food item that is worse than another when it comes to some of the things we're talking about, or is it a combination thereof?
Well, I think it's a combination of thereof, right? And for me, you know, I'll just speak of this because I was a very healthy individual. I eat pretty good all the time, but alcohol is a significant trigger.
Okay.
So for me, strangely enough, it didn't. If I would smell a little sip of vodka or something like that, I would immediately go into AFib.
That's not interesting. Okay.
And so that was a big trigger. But for some other people, it could be depending on like high fatty foods. Sometimes spicy foods can even be triggers.
Makes sense.
So people's triggers are really dependent upon how their body reacts to that.
So for all of you listening, here's the key. Know what those are. Of course, Jim, stay away from those items. And some items, by the way, might be easier to stay away from than others. And as I was talking before we came on with you, the reality, too, is we really have done, in my opinion, since I'm 60. So, I mean, I've watched our food pyramid and things change throughout, my lifetime. And the reality is, unfortunately, there's been a lot of bad and or misleading information that has been given to people. And I think that's part of the problem that we've got today, Jim. And what I mean by that is at one point in time, all fats are bad. Well, no, Jim, all fats aren't bad, as you know.
Right.
Some fats we need. Our brain health needs certain, our brain needs certain fats. And yet we told people for so long, no fat, no fat, no fat, no fat, fat bad, fat bad, fat bad. Well, it's not all bad.
Right. No, it's not. And, along this journey, I've really started to adopt the whole foods diet perspective, right? Or lifestyle, I should say, where, it's like I don't feel guilty slapping on some butter on my sourdough bread or
absolutely.
Whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
It's minimizing the amount of ingredients that you eat by the foods, right?
Yeah.
So it's, as somebody once said, it's like don't eat the things that have a barcode on them, right? So
right.
Go and enjoy your cashews and your avocados and all of that stuff. And by the way, you can make them very tasty and it'll fill you up, right? And so it's so there's no issues with feeling full when you eat this type of a diet.
It's funny, when I was young, I grew up at a time where, and you'll remember this probably even your age, butter bad, margarine good. Nothing could be farther from the truth.
We grew up on Fleischmann's.
I
know exactly. I know it very well. And then now, and I'm the youngest of nine in my family, right? So now as I go and I see some of my family members and I open up the refrigerators and I'm looking at things like I can't believe it's not butter. I'm like, you should not be eating that. Like that's not.
You're better off using butter.
You're better off using something, and we use whole butter all the time and it's just amazing. So,
and again, that's because, again, to my point earlier, we were sort of hoodwinked, if you would, years and years and years ago. And I don't know exactly by whom, big whoever, big food, big whatever, big processed food. I don't know who you want to call it or who you want to blame it on. But the reality is a lot of that information was just flat dead wrong.
That's right. And it's a shifting scale. And I'm so grateful that things are coming back around. So that we can realize and sit up and pay attention to the things that we're consuming.
Going back to AFib, because I think this is a big deal, and I think, to your point, it affects a lot more people than I think most people even realize. And again, I've experienced this. I've got several family members with, pacemakers and have had to have some things along these lines. And I think the thing that people don't realize is, A, it's not that big of a deal. B, they're pretty, quote-unquote painless when it's all said and done, Jim. And by the way, in my opinion, the modern marvel that they are today and what they can do and control and so on, I am amazed at how those things work.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's they are all the devices and the developments have really been significant. I mean, I personally wear a pacemaker as well. I don't need it anymore. It's no reason for it to be working. It's just sitting inside of my chest because of just in case something does go wrong again. But I'm grateful that it's, I'm extending its battery life, so to speak, right? But the technology for improving people's quality of life is there. Just really make sure that you have deep conversations with healthcare providers to ensure what all of the options are for you so your quality of life can be good.
Okay, before we end, reducing stress. It's a big topic. You and I could spend literally 3 hours talking about reducing stress, but And I know it's different for everybody because different people have different stressors. But you know, what's an easy, you know, how should I say this, Jim? You know, what's an easy way for somebody that really is affected stress, you know, stress-wise? What's an easy way for them to de-stress?
Easiest thing to do is to take a walk.
Okay.
It's amazing how much. And I was talking to a gentleman the other day, a very close friend of mine, who's hugely into physical fitness. And he just looked at me, he's like, can you believe that we are now coming all the way back around to just simply stating walking is the best form of exercise for us from a mental capacity, a physical capacity, as well as just to diminish the stress loads that we have, because just get out and get some fresh air, and it makes a huge difference.
It's amazing that we've come back full circle to something that, quite honestly, Jim, at one time, because we didn't have the transportation we have now, and everybody walked everywhere. They didn't have a choice.
That's right. And now we can go out and walk, right? It's beautiful to do it. I think we've got too much transportation. We probably rely too much on our cars and things, but let's get out and walk.
I agree. Jim, thank you as always. How do folks find you, by the way?
Yeah, you can reach me. I've got two websites. You can reach me at unlimitedheart.co, as well as I wrote a book, Unlimited Heart, How to Transform Your Pain into Purpose. And you can find that at unlimitedheartbook.com.
Awesome. I've got that in my notes. I'll highlight that and make sure we get that up on our website as well. Jim, again, so much of a, you know, such a joy to talk to you. I appreciate it very much. Thank you, by the way.
My pleasure as well.
Enjoy have a great night. Appreciate you very much. And went a little long with him, but what a great guy. Really enjoyed talking to Jim, and a lot of great useful information.